Look at verse 20. I have a thought to simplify a lot of what sometimes seems very complicated. And there are certain things in the Word of God to show what kind of a Christian you will be, what sort of experience you'll have, and how you'll be effective one way or the other. So I've got a few things, a few verses of Scripture today that I want to bring to you. And first of all is about His Word. Now look at Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Yes. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we're able to gather together still. We pray that you would bless this meeting, bless this message. Turn each one of us towards you. May we turn to Jesus. May we simply trust you. Amen. Give us the faith to simply trust you. And I pray that you'd give me a freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. And I pray that you'd touch hearts and lives anywhere possible with the sound of this word. Help us out today, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Solomon's talking about his own children. I had a father that by the time I was 12 years old, he talked to me. He didn't, I got my last spanking when I was 12, and then I never got another spanking from my father. But he would sit me down and talk about 30 minutes. And I would have rather had the spanking. And yet what the truth was, he was putting his mind into a 17-year-old body, a teenager, 12 to 17, something like that. He wanted me to think, and in thinking, to judge what was going to be the result. And it always was like this. It's what you do has a reaction. You know, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow watermelon, you don't get corn. You sow corn, you don't get watermelon. And if you sow spiritually, you get spiritual benefits. You know, I know the stock market has made an awful lot of people rich, and it's a wonderful thing. If you're able to handle that type of stuff, that's great. Have you ever thought about what you're doing with God? Some of you don't like to give at all, and you don't want anybody talking about giving, and that's all right. I'm going to tell you that it's right to give. God deserves the tithe. First thing, when I got saved, I said to the preacher, what do I do now? He said, get baptized and start tithing. Well, I didn't know what tithing was. I didn't know what that was. I didn't know the word. And he said, give 10%. Well, I didn't even have a bank account. I was in the Air Force in Roswell, New Mexico, and I made $196 a month with a wife and a family. That was all there was to it. Well, I didn't have a bank account, so I took a $20 bill and put it in the plate when they passed it. And that's the way I gave for a long, long time. It was 10%. So he told me what the tithe was. Now, things are pretty simple. If you follow God's word, I personally think the Bible is really simple. Now, you can make it very complicated in the way you study it, and if you listen to everybody's opinion around, why don't you just take God's word and read it? Right. Someone has said, you know, you have to read it. I think it was read here a while back, you know. People teaching the Bible, they never even read the Bible. Read it and take God at His word. It says in the 14th chapter of John that God, if it were not so, He would have told us. Can you trust God for that? Can you trust God that His word is true, and that if it wasn't true, He'd have told us? Now, that's the faithfulness of God. So the very first thing I would say, if you're going to be a Christian and you're going to grow as a Christian and you want to mature as a Christian, you need to do it by the word of God. A blessing for me was I quit smoking. And when I quit smoking, I started praying. I did cold turkey. I didn't know anything about any of these helps. I just knew that as I was a preacher, I surrendered to preach the gospel. I shouldn't be smoking or drinking or cussing or gambling. And so I quit those four things. Man, the worst was cigarettes. Oh, man, I'd been smoking a long time. Smoked about two packs a day at that time when I was about 20 years old. I would have nicotine fits. And you know what? I traded my Camels for a New Testament. And every time I got a nicotine fit, I said, oh, Lord, help me. And I just read. I read the New Testament 20 times that year. And that New Testament was about that thick by the time I got through with that year because I had grease and oil. I'm working on airplanes and whatever. But I got it through 20 times, and I read the Old Testament 3 times. And you know what? It convinced me it was the truth. Do you know where to go to truth? You think you get the truth off the Internet? You think you get the truth out of the news broadcast? Man, you're terribly deceived. You know where you're going to get the truth? A lot of people don't believe it, but out of the Word of God. The Word of God. Now, Solomon is talking to his sons, and he's saying, attend to my words. Well, that's the smartest man probably that ever lived. He was had to be a genius of some sort. God Almighty gave him some tremendous blessings. That's why it's amazing to me that in his latter days, he set up houses of worship for Baal and other things in there because of some of his wives. Amazing. My son, attend to my words. You know what? If you leave it at this way, try not to be too spiritual. Try not to be too smart. Try not to look for everything you can to give you a problem. Attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. They are life to those that find them. Yes. Hey, life. The Word of God is life. What a blessing. I am a positive person. My wife thought I was an eternal optimist. And yet, you know what I do? I believe what this book says. Yes. And when I want to find out about something, I look and see what the book says. You say, well, I don't know how to get through that big book. It's so big and whatever. Try learning a concordance. It's a real good book to have if you have a Bible. And boy, they got these electronic ones now, even on your phones, I think, that you can get a concordance. And you want to know what about love? Well, man, I'm telling you, you get a whole lot of passages on love. And anything else. Why don't you take what God says clearly, plainly, and believe it? Real simple. That's not any great, great religious experience, is it? Just who do you trust? I do not trust the news. I listen to 1 hour of the news every day from 5 to 6 o'clock. I get the local, I get the national. Some of it I believe and some of it I don't believe. I get all sorts of stuff on my computer. They send it to me. I tell you, this computer age, everybody thinks they've got a story to tell. And some of them are idiots. Really, really idiots. They don't know what they're talking about. But the Word of God, now I've been reading it for 63 years now. I'm going to turn 84 in November. For 63 years, I've been reading this book and believing what it says. That's a very simple start. If you want to grow in Christ, if you want to get a Christian testimony, if you want to have a life that has a trust in what is going to happen in the future, you got to go with this book. There's no other book like it. There's none to equal it. Not in any of the religions of the world. And most of them are just blind stupidity. And then he says, they're life to those that find them. Yes, they are. I heard of a man, really tickled me. I like to sort of skip when I get to the genealogies, you know, and all of these old books, you know, and he got this name begat so-and-so and this name begat. Now, if I were really hunting for somebody's genealogy, I would pay a lot more attention to that. But I believe it's the Word of God. I believe it's true. But I just sort of read sort of fast through that, you understand? What I want to find is God saying something about what I'm thinking about, whether it's prayer, evangelism, love, marriage. When I married my wife, she was a women's liber. One of the original first. I'm telling you. Boy, we had arguments over all sorts of things, and I didn't know the Bible. I didn't have anything like that. But when she read in the Bible what it says about a wife is to do, obey her husband, she said, no way. But my wife came because she learned to believe the Word of God, and the only thing she really trusted was the King James Bible of the Word of God. And she was a very obedient wife. She taught obedience to other wives. And she taught it. But why? Because it says so in the Word of God. You think you know more about marriage than God? You don't. You need His help. You need His guidance. You need somebody to give you some help. And so very simply, we got the Word of God. It's life to them that find them. Wow, what a blessing you can have if you'll get yourself in line with the Word of God. You don't want to go anywhere outside the Word of God. I don't care how dynamic the preacher is or how much success you think you could have by going through this some other way. Why don't you test it by the Word? Now, Solomon says, you kids obey me. I don't know how many kids Solomon had. Ahab had 70 sons. 70 sons. And he was a wicked king. And his 70 sons got killed when he died. They were all wiped out. Now it says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Some of you haven't opened your Bible outside of this church in a month. And you say, you know, I just don't feel right. I need a little help in my spirit. Yes, you do. You need to read the book. And try to figure out what He's saying to you that day, wherever He is. Maybe in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, in the Proverbs, or in the New Testament, whatever. What is the blessing for you this day? You don't have to read for a long time. You don't have to be a good reader at all. You can read for 15 minutes and glean from out of the Word of God some blessing for your life in your heart. He says it's life to them that find Him. And then he says in verse 23, and this one is really, really very important. I've preached sermons on just this one verse. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. You've got to keep your heart. Some of that marriage stuff, that's your heart. That's your heart. You've got to keep your heart. You've got to come to the place that you love. And that's exactly what it is. You keep thy heart with all diligence. Don't let something come in. Let me tell you something. Your parents were not perfect. They made mistakes. I wasn't a perfect parent. I made mistakes. I'm not a perfect pastor. I've made a lot of mistakes. Sometimes I've given the wrong advice, I'm sure. You've got to learn to forgive. Some of you kids, you older kids even, haven't ever forgiven your parents for what they did, decisions they made. Whatever. You need to forgive them. And some of you parents have had a kid gone bad and torn up lots of things, stolen things from you, done all sorts of things. You need to forgive them. They're not perfect. There was only one perfect child ever born, and only one mother ever had a perfect child. And that was Mary with Jesus. I cannot imagine what kind of a child he was. That's just because none of mine were perfect. They were little rascals. Of course, they inherited my nature, probably. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Now, with all diligence, you don't want to let some things into your heart. Now, I'm not a good housekeeper. I'm lucky I have Linda to come around and pick up for me and clean me up and whatever. But it takes diligence. You know what? Just with one person in a house, dust gets all over it. Is that all my skin? Man, I didn't know I had that much skin coming off of me right now. I wash dishes once a week. I wash clothes once a week. I just pile them up until that day, and then that one day I just wash and wash and wash and whatever. You can't keep your heart that way. If you allow garbage to come in, you're going to get garbage to go out. And that's why he tells you here, he says, keep thy heart with all diligence. That's hard work. Diligence is paying attention. Diligence is writing yourself some notes. All right, carry out the trash. The trash comes on a certain day, whatever. You got to figure that out. I don't have a wife to trust me anymore. She can say, Lendl, today's the day for trash. Well, she's not around anymore. The dirty bird left me. I was supposed to die first and leave her 20 years a widow. The longevity in her family was amazing. Mine's not that way. And here I am, still alive. Of course, I might not make it through this sermon. You never know. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Put some work in what you let in your mind. Amen. Some of the stuff just needs to be turned off. Some of the tapes need to be thrown away. Some of the friends need to be left. If friends, I mean, if somebody is your friend and he's giving you drugs, he's not your friend. If you're a recovered alcoholic and one of your friends wants you to go out and drink beer with him or drink alcohol otherwise with him, he's not your friend. He's not doing you any good. What's the simple thing? Keep your heart. Watch what goes into you. Watch what you say. You know, some of you have habits of saying things from your childhood, and you don't really realize you're taking the Lord's name in vain. And sometimes it offends me. In fact, I used to say, do you eat with that mouth? And I offended a few people by telling them they had a dirty mouth. But I don't want that anymore. I had a dirty mouth. Now, the words are still there. I know all the words. In fact, I know how to cuss you out in Spanish, but I don't know how to speak it that well. But the truth is, I don't want that in my heart. Let me tell you about grudges. You got a grudge, and every time you think about it, it just makes you mad. Well, you know, you're not hurting the person you got the grudge against. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself. Every time that comes up and that vileness comes into your heart, it takes away your joy. It takes away your peace. It puts a different attitude in your life. Keep your heart with all diligence. Really pretty smart. The Word of God is something else. I do believe the Word of God is true, and I believe the principles in it make for a wonderful life. Wonderful life. I'm thankful for that dad that talked to me. I really am. He was a very wise man. He wasn't a very well-educated man. He could fix anything in the world. Good, hard-working man. But I'm thankful. He was a wise man. Now, that's the Word of God. Ought to put a little bit in you every day. Maybe you ought to write it on 3x5 cards and stick it in your car. Maybe you need to take a sheet of paper and take these magnets and put it on your refrigerator so you can see some of those beautiful verses that can lift your heart. We got a lot of things tearing our hearts down. Burdened. People are scared. You know what? You need to have an uplift. And what will lift you up? The promises of the Word of God. So number one, the very simple thing is, get into the Bible, start learning to see what it says, start finding your way through that Bible, and find verses that bless your heart and memorize them. Right.
Carry them with you in your pocket.
Let the Word of God bless you. There's a second thing that I want to say that I consider very simple. It's very hard to do, though. Jesus must be Lord. Amen. He's not your co-pilot. He's not your buddy. He's Lord. Amen. Now, we as Americans, we don't have kings. No aristocracy. If it's any way that way, it's on wealth or something that we have it. And yet, my friend, Jesus is Lord. I was watching an old movie, or no, I guess it's a modern movie. And about Winston Churchill, after taking the position that they gave him, Prime Minister, he kissed the hand of the king, and he backed out. That's so foreign to me. I don't want a king but Jesus. And no other king I want but Jesus. He's Lord. L-O-R-D. That means he's boss. You're not boss. Here a while back, the Baptists in the state of Texas voted that women did not have to obey their husbands. Do you think the church can take a vote and change the Word of God? They're ridiculous. It's laughable. It's something you ought to cry about, maybe. You don't change God's Word. Let God's Word change you. Amen. That's the simple thing. The Word of God. Okay, look in Philippians 2:9, if you want to know the verse I'm going to use for this. 9 through 11. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. Every name. No name goes over Jesus. Isn't that something? He's not a byword. He's not a cuss word. God has highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. Now notice this. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee should bow. You know what's going to happen one of these days? Everything on the earth is going to bow. Everything in heaven's going to bow, and everything in hell's going to bow to Jesus. He's the Lord. It's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue, those cussing tongues, those blasphemous tongues, those lying tongues, you know what they're going to do? They're going to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. They're not going to want to, but they're going to do it. And that's going to be to the glory of God the Father. Wow, what a blessing. Something else about his name. Look at Colossians 3:17. Tremendous verse. It changed the way I visited. Back in the years when I was a Baptist pastor, and I was for 14 years, I would go knock on the door. Well, hello, I'm Brother Lindell Kincaid from so-and-so Baptist church down so far. And I kept reading this verse. In whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Is that just a verse? Or is it something you should do? Well, it says, whatsoever. I'd say that includes about everything, doesn't it? Whatsoever? That's a big word. Boy, that encompasses a whole lot. Whatsoever you do in word, and indeed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So I knock on doors now and I say, my name's Lindell Kincaid. I'd like to talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. And He can do you wonders. You can be blessed by the Word of God like I was blessed by the Word of God. You can have your life changed like my life was changed. Oh, yeah, they tell you the honeymoon's going to wear off. It hasn't. 63 years. They told me it'll last a couple of weeks. Yeah. I was really witnessing. I'm telling everybody, and they're laughing at me. Yeah, you'll get over it. We've all had experiences like that. I'm not over it. I'm still going. I'm still the very best thing I can think of is I'm headed for heaven.
Amen.
I know I'm going to die. That doesn't bother me one bit. Everybody's got to die. It's just the time when you're going to die. How soon it's going to be. I didn't think I'd ever live to be this old. And now that my body's going to start failing me. It already has. But let me tell you something. I'm headed for glory, and I'm headed for a 33 and a half year old body. It'll be forever. Always strong, always vibrant. I'm going to have a body like Jesus Christ had when He rose from the grave. You're going to have that kind of a body. You may have some failures in your body. You may have some weaknesses or sicknesses in your body. And some of these things that trouble you, not going to be that way. Doesn't take you very long. But the Bible says here, whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I'm thankful for what my future holds. And you know what? I'm not getting what I deserve. I'm not getting what I deserve. I've probably witnessed to more people than most of you. I've probably read the Bible more times than you. I've probably memorized more scriptures than most of you have. But you know something? The only thing that makes a difference in that is what it's done to my spirit. What it's done to my heart. What it's done to my character. It's not a thing like we're going to add it up with God, you know. We've got to have all these things right here. If there's anything to be passed out, God will pass it out. He said, you can't give a cup of cold water to a disciple in my name and lose your reward. Isn't that wonderful? He takes account of everything you do. Then you might ought to be thinking what you're doing. I want to lift up Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want Him to be exalted. I want people to know that I can't save them. And there's some people come to a preacher, they want to be saved. And they want the preacher to, you're supposed to know it and do it and whatever. No, I can't save anybody. I didn't die for them. I didn't live good enough to be able to die as a sacrifice. Did you? I don't think so. His name should be above every other name, above your name. Above the politician that you like, his name. Above everybody else in your friends, that you have some people that are very strong and whatever. His name is above all. Now let me tell you what about this kingdom we're going to. This Christianity. You know what His law is? Love. It's not the Ten Commandments that came to Moses. Yes, that was God's law. For the Jew, for the period of time, and all of those things are good, no problem. But God's law is love. You ever heard what Jesus said when He came in the New Testament? Luke 10:27 says, and He answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Have you ever done that? It's a great thing to reach for. But the truth of the matter is, it's beyond me. When I read that, I feel guilty. I don't think I've ever loved God that much. I love myself too much. I love my family too much. I don't think you've ever loved God that much, but man, it's the goal. It's where you're aiming. It's what you want to do. I want to love God with all my heart. Not have to be troubled with all my sicknesses or my problems or my difficulties or the world situation. And by the way, don't feel too put out by this coronavirus and some of the restrictions we've got. Just think about your daddies and grandparents. They went through World War I, they went through the Depression, and they went through World War II. I think it was a little worse. Sort of cut yourself a little slack. This isn't the worst it's ever been. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Well, if it's all my heart, it doesn't leave much for anybody else, does it? It means he takes first place. It means he takes first place. Your wife does not take first place. Your husband does not take first place. Your children do not take first place. And some kids have been ruined by parents who put them first. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. He deserves it. I recognize that he deserves it. He deserves a lot more love out of you than what you've given him. By the grace of God, he's given you the righteousness of Christ. Wow. That's tremendous. You're dirty, you're filthy, you're lazy, you're stupid. I know you don't like those words, but they're true. If you'd admit it, you'd be better off. Lord, forgive me for my stupidity. Lord, forgive me for my selfishness. We're all selfish. The most unselfish person in this room or listening to me is selfish. I'm number one. I'm number one. Where is the center of the universe? Right where I'm standing. Isn't that right? If you'd admit it, that's the truth. You are the most important thing. That's one of your problems in marriage, one of your problems in the church. Selfishness. And that's the base root of all sin. You know that? You might not have ever thought about it that way, but selfishness is the base root of all sin. The wife, a gang of thieves, will hit an old lady and steal her money out on the street is because they're so stinking selfish they can't think about anybody but themselves. That's where all your sin comes from. Look at Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Here's a tremendous verse that you ought to remember. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. You know what the law is? Love. God wants love out of you. Real love, not selfish love. Real love. Love that wishes the best for the other person. Love that wishes the best for God. Love that wishes the best for your children or your family or your spouse. It's not just an emotion that I like or I love or I feel or whatever. No, it's an action. It's the denying of your own self to do what's best for the other party. And mamas and daddies, you don't raise your children with discipline, you're ruining them. You are ruining them. They're going to grow up being undisciplined teenagers and adults, and they're going to go to jail. Or they're going to get killed. Or something else bad's going to happen. Or they'll lead miserable lives. You need to love them enough to correct them. Love them enough to teach them. Love them enough to try to put a 40-year-old head in a 17-year-old body. What you need to do. So, his word is important. Jesus is the Lord. His name is above all, and his law is love. We live by faith, not by sight. We don't live by what we experience. We shouldn't. We ought to live by what the Word of God says. What are the promises that are in God's Word? You know there are a lot of them. You've got a lot of promises, no matter what your situation. I've been doing this a long time. No matter what your situation, there's an answer for it right here in this book if you keep reading. It'll turn your mind where you can stand. Maybe you don't get what you want, but you'll be able to stand and go through it and do it victoriously. You can change things. You can change your life. My life got changed at 20. And God has been working on that and melding that for 63 years. I'm still being changed. I'm still having to repent. Man, Lord, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have let that upset me. I don't want to hold a grudge. I want to turn it over. The Bible, in the 8th chapter of Romans, has a little statement that says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Now, some of you don't believe that. And for that reason, you have to make them pay. But have you ever thought, suppose one hit would pay back, and I give three hits. That means God owes me two. You ever thought about that? You put yourself on the wrong side of God. God's going to make things straight. He's going to make things right. Can you trust Him? Then you don't have to go and take back. I've done that several times in my life. I said, "Lord, it's in your hands. I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit thinking about it. I'm going to quit judging it. I'm going to quit feeling bad about them or wanting them to pay. Lord, you know what's best." I don't. Somebody, when one of their husbands died, they came to me about 6 months later and said, "You're the old man. You're supposed to know all the answers." I said, "Yes, ma'am, I'm the old man." She said, "What's my husband doing now?" I said, "I have no idea." "Well, I thought you were the old man. You know all the answers." I said, "I just know what the Bible tells me, and the Bible doesn't tell me what he's doing." You understand? You don't know everything. You don't know the right thing to do about half the time. Well, why don't you pray a little bit, read a little bit, and wait a little bit, pray, and then maybe forget it. Just turn it loose. I heard someone talking about his father was a very poor father and left the family and left him to grow up without his influence. And he said, "After he died, I just sort of let those things go." And I thought, that's exactly what you need to do. You need to do that first. Just turn some things loose. Forget them. You've got your judgment, maybe against your father or your mother, some friend, somebody else that's done you dirty, former husband or wife or whatever, or child. Why don't you just give them to God and let Him handle them, and you take them off of you? That'll make you live a little more positive life. Really, what a great blessing it is to know the Word of God and do some things that way. We live by faith. Now, what does it mean to live by faith? But if live by faith is to live by what God has already said. He said if I'd confess my sins, He would forgive me my sins. If you live by faith, what'll that do for you? That'll let you know you're forgiven. You can be forgiven. You don't have to judge yourself for those things anymore. If you've confessed them to God, they've been removed as far as the east is from the west. They were removed from the depths of the sea to be brought against us no more. And by the way, if you've been saved, then that means you now rest in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You're not in your own anymore. In fact, you never were very righteous anyway. But now then you are. Because God Almighty has taken that perfect righteousness, that perfect life of love that only one man has ever known to do, and applied it to my account. Now here's this account. Drinking, gambling, stealing, fighting, hating. That was on my account. And one day, at 20 years old, God said, "If you'll take Christ
as your Savior. I'll give you His righteousness. I'll forgive all of yours.
And God took the righteousness of Jesus Christ and took it to my account before the court of heaven and planted it there.
In the courts of heaven, I have the righteousness of Christ. You have the righteousness of Christ.
All your sins are gone. What a blessing. What a tremendous... That's great. Now, when we're thinking about faith, there are an awful lot of Christians around the world, and I've been spending a little bit of time. I don't spend much time on watching TV evangelists and whatever. But I have here in the last few weeks. And you know what? You can get the gospel off of the TV. Some of them preaching the gospel. You can hear about Jesus Christ. You can hear about the love of God. You can hear about being forgiven. And you can hear about you need to be saved. And that's all around the world. Do you realize that while you and I are in this bubble of American Christianity where we aren't really persecuted for our faith, there are people in North Korea that are persecuted for just accepting Christ. And they're accepting Christ by the dozens. There are people in China that are accepting Christ. There are people in Arab countries where they take a chance on being killed by their neighbors that are accepting Christ. Wow. We have a worldwide fellowship. I had some college professors that came to Guatemala when I was a missionary there. And one of the old Indians that I was familiar with, he was probably 75 or 80 years old, my age now. And he was somewhat feeble. And these professors wanted to talk to him, so I translated for them. And when they left, that old Christian man, Guatemalan, said he pitied them. He had faith. Wow. It shocked me. But it broke across my mind. Here's a man simply believing it, and he sees some people who are doubting it. Something? Believe the book. Believe the Word of God. Believe the things He tells you. Believe that if you needed to know it, He would have let you know it. Isn't that amazing? Amen. John 14 is tremendous. In fact, John's tremendous. I sometimes get criticized because I've taught John so many times in this thing. I tell you what, I think John and Romans should be taught over and over and over again. Because there are people been in churches 10 or 15 years that need to get saved. And what do those two books do? Man, they make salvation plain. We got the most compelling story that's ever been given. God in heaven decides to come to earth in a baby. And He picks out a Jewish virgin. And the Holy Spirit of God moves upon her, and she's impregnated. And she bears this son. And he grows up. What an unusual son. I'm sure his sisters and brothers were mad at him all the time because he was such a good guy. And they got all the problems, you know, of normal life. You know something? He went to the cross of Calvary. And he bled and died. Shed his blood. And then he rose from the grave 3 days and three nights later. You can't get a Good Friday in there. He wasn't crucified on Friday and rose on Sunday. No, I'm sorry. It doesn't make three nights. You got a problem there. Even for partial. And then he sends his disciples out. And these disciples went out. You know what they did? They never quit. And what were they telling? He rose from the grave. He's alive. He's alive and He can give you this. And He had these men specially prepared for 3 years with Him of ministry, working and doing. They knew Him.
And you check the history of these men. They died before they refused to think that Christ didn't rise from the grave. They carried their testimony to the grave.
They preached it around the world. The evidence of the lives of the apostles are a great testimony to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We've got the most powerful gospel there is anywhere in the world. The simple Bible. John and Romans and Paul's writings and whatever. Gospel is Christ will give you His righteousness and He'll take your sins. He'll remove those sins as far as the east is from the west. And He puts them buried in the depths of the sea to be remembered against me no more. And He does it freely. You can't earn it. If you try to earn it, you'll lose it. It is a gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The gift of God. And it's a gift that's never taken back. Once you have it, I don't care what your particular situation is, you never lose it. Once you've been placed into the hand of God, who do you think can pull you out? The devil can't do it. Nobody but God can. And God says He won't. That's the biggest good news you ever had to preach. Christ paid it all. He paid for every sin. I can go into any prison and talk to murderers and rapists and pedophiles and tell them if they will trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they can be saved and go to heaven and have all their sins forgiven and given a wonderful new life. And it would be true. You know what that is? That's a glorious gospel.
Amen.
It's not that I'm working real hard. There's a lot of Christians out there. They're working real hard. Some of them are knocking on your doors thinking they're gaining days in heaven.
I'm not working for my salvation. I've been talking to a lot of people over a lot of years. I've read the Bible many times. I've preached in lots of places. I'm not working for my salvation. I'm already saved. I got saved at 20 years old in the Air Force. Praise God. That first New Testament turned black with grease. But you know what I got out of it? Oh, I got a lot of truth. And I learned to trust it. The gift of God. Gift. You know what a gift is? You don't work for a gift. A gift is something spontaneously given. You just have to receive it or not receive it. The gift of God is eternal life.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ. How simple is that? It's so simple, a lot of people reject it. They reject it. But you're rejecting the greatest gospel ever promoted. There's no good news in any religion out there, anywhere, that comes anywhere close to that. Wow, that's something else. I'll tell you something else we can do. God says His Word will not return unto Him void. That's why I like to stay strictly by the Word as much as I can. His Word will not return unto Him void. It will accomplish His purpose. I want to preach the Word. I want to preach the truth that Jesus Christ can save your soul.
no matter who you are. If you'll just ask Him and trust Him, believe the message that's been given to you. Believe the gospel. Gospel is good news. That God has a righteousness that He will give you to make you acceptable in heaven and before God. And He's going to give it to you. You don't have to sell so many magazines. You don't have to knock on so many doors. You don't have to pass out so many tracts. You don't have to preach to so many people. You don't have to go into a leper colony and give your life up to save souls. God's going to give it to you as a free gift. You don't pay for it. You don't pay for it after you've got it. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at Isaiah 55, verse 6. Verses 6 and 7 out of the prophet Isaiah are really a tremendous message. Just listen to the words. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. What kind of a God do you have? What kind of a message do you have to deliver? He will abundantly pardon. I've known people that said, you know, I can't get saved. I've committed too many sins. No, you've never reached the limit yet, friend. God can save you no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what your life is like. He can turn you around. Now, some of the things that you've suffered because of it may still suffer. If you were in a drunken accident and lost your right arm, well, He's not going to replace that arm. You go through life with a left arm. But when He comes to accepting you, I'm amazed. I've been studying on Ahab. Ahab was the wickedest king of the nation of Israel that they ever had. And he, beyond this, he married a wife. Her name was Jezebel. I don't know why anybody would name their little girl Jezebel. Not a good namesake. And God said He added this to His sins. He married Jezebel, and she made him worse than he ever was but without her. And when he heard the judgment of God upon him from Elijah, it says he trembled, he put on sackcloth and ashes, and he walked softly. That wicked king, and God said, see, Ahab, he's humbled himself. He's got sackcloth on. I will not punish him in his day. I'll punish him in his son's day. God pays attention. God pays attention. Now, you may not like that, but God always does right. I just want you to know. I don't question God's judgments. I don't question what God has said. I try to understand it. Try to preach it simple. Make it plain. Everybody ought to be able to understand. You can be forgiven. You can be saved for all eternity. You can be dressed up in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You can have God for a father and Jesus for a brother. And you can have heaven for all eternity. Wow. What a gospel. What a gospel. I'm thankful for the gospel. John 3:16, maybe the most quoted verse in the Bible, for God so loved the world. Loved. Loved the world. I don't know your experience. I had parents that loved me. I had a loving family I came from. What a blessing that is. God so loved the world. I don't love the world.
The world looks sort of ugly and messy to me. I got problems with a whole lot of the world. I got a whole lot of problems with a lot of things that are happening right now. But it says, God so loved the world. That's big. That He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him. You can write your name in there. That word, whosoever, that's a tremendous word. It's in the Bible. I'm reading it right out of the Bible. Whosoever. You know what? Almost 64 years ago, I wrote my name in there. So that if Lyndall Kincaid will believe in Him, he should not perish but have everlasting life. Wow. What a blessing. I'm headed for heaven. I know some of you will cry when I die and you throw dirt in my face. But I won't be crying. I'll be rejoicing. I'll say, that old body's gone. Praise God, I've got a new one. Wow, all those struggles and trials and questions to be answered and decisions to be made and problems to face. No more. Wow, hallelujah. God so loved me. God so loved you. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you don't know that you're saved. Would you take Christ today? I'm not going to tell you how to, don't follow me in a prayer. Why don't you get on your face right out here on one of these front rows and say, God, forgive me. Confess all your sins. We'll wait for you. And accept Christ and the promises He made of forgiveness of sins, of eternal life, and absolute cleansing. All by just receiving the gift He promised. Lord, touch hearts. Have your way in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to stand and give an invitation. 243. Room at the cross. Amen. I want you to know, no matter how many have come, there's still room for you. I was a church member 10 years before I got saved. You may be a church member and you're not saved. You may be lost and you know you're lost and you need to be saved. Whatever it is, whatever decision you have, maybe you need to just start putting God first. Maybe you need to love Him. Maybe you need to repent. Well, this invitation is open. 243, room at the cross. Will you come? Trust Him. There's room. You can still come. Sing it out. Thank you.
Back tonight in your book on the chair.